I just want to thank the Lord for being here and thank the Lord that I'm saved.
Amen, Sister Martha. Amen. You think not.
That's right.
Be this hour. Most people not expect the Lord to come in this hour, but he could.
Yeah.
All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, if you'd be open to the book of Exodus tonight and pray for me, I'm tired tonight. They say, what are you tired for? You go to Smoky Mountains with three grandchildren, 10 and under, for a day and a half, and try to get them everywhere they need to go and then get back here. And I've been running ever since we got back here.
Y'all been bad.
I'm tired. But I'm glad to be here tonight.
Amen.
We preached last week out of chapter 1 of the book of Exodus. where the Bible said there arose up a new king over Egypt, but knew not Joseph. But tonight I feel like the Lord would have us to look here at another place here in Exodus chapter 2 tonight. And I feel like the Lord would have us to give you some spiritual food out of the book of Exodus for a while.
Amen.
You know, Paul said, preach the word.
Yeah.
And the reason he said that, because if you don't preach the word, if you just preach some topics and special texts, you're going to run out of something to preach pretty quick. And that's why most preachers change churches about every year.
Amen.
But if you're going to stay around very long, you're going to have to study and you're going to have to get in the word.
Amen.
And give your people something from the word of God.
Yeah.
And that's what we're supposed to preach. Now over in the book of Exodus, chapter 2, I want you to grab that, and I want you to go over to the book of Hebrews. If you would, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and we'll read from both places tonight. But first of all, we'll read from Exodus chapter 2, and we'll pick up in verse 11. For the Bible said, it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out into his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said unto them that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, how is it that you are come so soon today? And they said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew water enough for us and watered the flock. And he said unto his daughters, and where is he? And why is it that you have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread. And Moses was contented to dwell with this man, and he gave Moses Zipporah his daughter. And she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. Now in Hebrews chapter 11 tonight, we're going to read verse 24. We're going to read verse 24. Verse 24 down through verse 26 tonight. We're going to read that together. The Bible said, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward.
Amen.
I want to use verse 24 tonight as my text, where the Bible said, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You may be seated. Our Father, we do thank you, Lord, tonight to be able to be back tonight at the church. And Lord, we're thankful for the good number that's come out tonight for the Sunday night worship service, and we pray, Lord, that you'll bless, Lord, what we've tried to prepare tonight, Lord, to preach, and yet we know that the preparation of the heart must be of the Lord, and we know if there's any preaching, Lord, that you have to come and help us and take over. And so, Lord, we pray for liberty tonight to preach, and pray that God, you'll help us to bring some truths out tonight that would help us as children of God. And Lord, we pray for the lost always, Lord, that they would come to know you before it one day is going to be everlasting too late. They keep putting it off. And Lord, we pray tonight for those that are saved that you would stir our hearts and challenge us tonight.
Yes, Lord.
And give us strength, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
It's been about 40 years that we read here where that Moses, of course, had slew this Egyptian man, and he had went away and at about the age of 40, and he'd been gone about 40 years, according to the book of Acts there. He was about 40 years old when he returns there. Now Moses, of course, if you know the Bible and have been around much Bible teaching or preaching, you know that Moses' name means he was drawn out of the water. And most people think that Pharaoh's daughter probably gave him that name because she drew him out of the waters, or had him drawn out of the waters. Others think that his mother may have given him that name. But anyway, his name means that he was drew out of the waters. Now Moses, it seems that Moses always had deliverance in his blood. When you think about the life of Moses, you think about how that God was going to raise him up to be a deliverer.
Amen.
But his life starts out by he himself being delivered from sure death down at the river there when they was he was put in the river, and you know they were going to kill all the babies, all the male babies, that the order had been given to kill them all. And we know, we'll read here in a minute, and a little bit, where that his mother delivered him. But we see that Moses is always seems to have deliverance in his blood.
That's right.
And God raised him up for that reason.
Right.
God raised him up to be a deliverer. We know, as we read in our text tonight, that we see Moses delivering some of his brethren there. As an Egyptian was there, he killed that man and delivered them from that situation.
Right.
Then we read when he went over there, the shepherds came and was driving the daughters of Reuel away, that Moses stood up and he delivered them out of that situation.
Amen.
And then God would send him away, which he did. He was sent away into the wilderness for 40 years, and there God would make him to be the man that would come back and deliver his people out of Egyptian bondage.
Amen.
And so we see tonight that Moses has always, it seemed like, had deliverance in his blood.
Amen.
And God decided to use Moses. It was God's plan to use Moses. Therefore, God protected him as he did. Let me say tonight that it always costs to follow the Lord.
That's right.
There's a cost to follow the Lord.
Amen.
But the question that we don't need to ask tonight is, what's it going to cost to follow the Lord? The proper question is, what will it cost me not to follow the Lord?
Amen.
What's it going to cost me not to follow the Lord?
Mm.
Now, we look here tonight in our text, and the Bible talks about how that Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And I want to preach tonight on the refusal of Moses. Or what did Moses refuse? The Bible said that Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, I want to give you just four things tonight, if God would be our helper. And I hope the Lord will give you something out of it tonight. But I want you to see, first of all, that the Bible said there in verse 24, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, I believe that we can safely say, because of where we find that statement, in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is what we call the faith chapter.
Amen.
Because all through that chapter it uses these little words, by faith.
Amen.
That people did great things and extraordinary things. And it says in this verse, by faith Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, when we look at this evening, we see how important that it is to get faith into young people while they're young.
Amen.
I believe that Moses, I believe that his mother and father, Jochebed and Amrod, I believe that they got faith in Moses while that he was young. And we'll look at that in just a minute, but how important that is. Thinking about the illustration that M.R. DeHaan he really liked this illustration, and he used it a lot. He was fond of it. And the illustration was that he would bring a glass bottle, maybe something like this, a little bigger, and inside that bottle would be a full-grown cucumber about that long and about that big around. And folks would come to him and they'd say, "How in the world did you get that cucumber in that bottle?" And he said, "Well," he said, "I went out to the garden when the cucumber was small, and I slipped the vine in the bottle, and I let it grow inside of that bottle." And he said, "That's what we need to do, is we need to get the Word of God into young people while they're young and let it grow with them. As they grow, that they would grow in faith and wisdom and stature with God." And so I believe that's what Moses and mother and his father, I believe that's what they did, was that they got faith in Moses while he was young. The Bible said when he got older, I believe that faith played a part. He refused to be called faith, the daughter of Pharaoh. Now, we know that there was faith in the home of Moses because they were God's people. Amen. They were people that God had led out. God's people must be a people of faith.
Amen.
There can be no such thing as a people of God if you have no faith.
That's right.
Because it is by faith that we're saved and brought into the family.
Amen.
And the Bible said once we're brought into the family of God, we must live by faith.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Most of us, God makes it easy for us to live by faith because we don't have a lot of income. Amen.
Amen.
You don't have to have faith if you got a lot of income. So when you have to pray out everything, every bill, every water bill, light bill, gas tank, when you have to pray out everything, it's a lot easier to have faith than to trust God than it is when you don't have to trust it for anything. Amen.
Amen.
We see here, the Bible said over the book of Acts, gives us a little insight there in this story that we don't get in Hebrews or over in Exodus. But over there in Acts 7, verse 20, the Bible said, "In which time Moses was born," that's verse 20, chapter 7, "and he was exceeding fair and nursed up in his father's house 3 months now. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nursed him for her own son. Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren and the children of Israel." Now, if you look down in the text there in your Scofield Bible, in the middle it says, it has a little note there, and it says that Moses was exceeding fair, or fair unto God. In other words, when this child was born, Moses' parents, they realized that there was something special about their child. They realized that this child was special unto God. Might I say tonight that every child is special unto God. Amen. I believe He loves all the children and they're all special to God tonight. But I believe it's saying here that they perceive that God was going to use their child to do something great. And the Bible says there that they had faith in their home. Moses, his mother and father, were people of faith.
Amen.
And that faith got him to Moses' heart. And I believe that had something to do with him refusing a position. Now think about this. Moses is, when he's refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he's refusing a position.
Yeah.
He's refusing, and many scholars believe that Moses was the next in line to take the throne, and if not the next in the line, very close to it, which meant Moses would have sat in Pharaoh's place, and Moses would have been the leader of all of Egypt, and refused that position, the Bible says. Why did he do that? I believe it was because of faith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Bible said by faith he refused.
That's right.
To be called.
That's what it says.
Now I understand that his mother and daddy had faith because faith was used in his own deliverance. I love this story in chapter 2, don't you?
Amen.
I never grow tired of of how that God delivered it there in chapter 2.
Isn't that wonderful?
The decree had come out, kill all the male babies.
Yeah, right.
But Moses' parents, Jochebed and Amrod, they had looked down at Moses, and they had realized the child was fire unto God. And no doubt, being people of faith, I think they prayed and said, God, they're going to kill our boy. God, show us what we need to do to save our boy.
Amen.
And I believe through prayer, a plan of faith was born.
Yeah.
And I believe that God turned the light on and they decided this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to make a little ark of bull rushes.
Yeah.
And we wonder where they got the stuff, but we remember that the father was a slave, that he had to make brick every day. He had to make brick and mortar and do that every day. And I don't know, the Bible doesn't say, but I just wonder if every day he didn't bring a little bit of that mortar and a little bit of that straw and a little bit of that stuff home. And every day, little bit, little by little, that they got enough to make this basket, to make this thing that they put Moses in. Maybe that's the way it happened. But the Bible says, and I want you to notice this, it said the woman conceived in verse 2 of chapter 2. And she saw him that he was a goodly child. And she hid him 3 months. Faith is not stupid.
That's right. Amen.
The world likes to picture people of faith as being stupid.
Yes, they do. That's right, brother.
If they were very smart, they wouldn't believe in a God they can't see.
Yeah. Yeah.
They wouldn't believe in this old book that's been around forever and ever. But faith is not stupid.
Yeah.
And the Bible says that she took her son and she hid him for 3 months. She hid the boy for 3 months. She didn't have him out in the open.
Right.
She hid the boy. Faith is better than to tear the boy out. Faith hid the boy for 3 months. And then notice this. When she could no longer hide him, he's growing, he's getting bigger. She took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And notice she doesn't put it in the river and out in the current. Faith's not stupid.
Amen.
She lays it right there in the flags.
Yeah.
The thing's growing there. She lays it there where that it can't move.
Yeah.
Faith's not stupid.
Amen. Amen.
And then she says in verse 4, and his sister stood afar off. In other words, she said, now we're going to put it right here. And said, you go stand off from it. Don't stand right down there by it. You say, why? It looked too suspicious.
Yeah.
And she's standing right there by it. So she stands off from it. And guess who comes walking down through there? Pharaoh's daughter.
Amen.
She comes walking down through there. And I've always believed that about the time she got where she needed to, that a mosquito bit the little baby, and he began to cry, wah, wah. And when he did, Moses, Pharaoh's daughter, she heard the baby cry, and she saw this girl standing there, and said, what is it? She said, it's a baby. And she said, go get the baby and bring it to me. And so she went and got the baby, and she brought it up there, and she laid it in the arms of Pharaoh's daughter. And about the time she laid him in her arms, Moses looked up and said, goo, goo, God, God. What he did, he won her heart.
Amen.
What he did, she was love at first sight.
Amen.
Yeah.
She says, you know, somebody raised this baby for me. She said, I do.
Yeah, man.
She said, you want me to go get him? She said, yeah, go get her. And she goes down there and says, Mama!
Yeah.
She comes up here and she says, will you nurse this child for me and take this child and nurse it for me? And she said, I will. I'd be glad to. And she said, I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child. Now, boy, that's the way faith works. Faith reached in and saved the child, and then faith took the child out of the waters, put her in the arms of a stranger, then calls her mother back up there, puts the child back in the arms of the mother, and says, I'm going to pay you for raising your own child.
Yeah,
keep that deal.
Yeah, mate.
And I tell you, God will pay you.
Yeah, man.
for raising his child.
Yeah.
You'll raise your children for the Lord. God will pay you for that. Amen.
That's right.
So we see faith is involved in this deliverance. It took faith to put that child in there to believe that somehow God was going to bring it out. Now, there was faith in the home, thank God. There was faith in the deliverance of Moses as a little baby. Now, remember, Moses' mother had him for a while. Moses' mother raised him up for a while. Don't you know Moses' mother? In those years she had him, she's getting everything of God in him, she did him. Don't you believe that?
Amen.
Don't you believe as soon as he got up today, she said, now Moses said, here's what happened. Said, Pharaoh was killing all of the male babies and you were going to be killed. But your dad and me, we got together, we prayed, we asked God to deliver you, and God told us what to do, and we took you down there and put you there at the river's brink, and then the Pharaoh's daughter came down, you cried, they carried you up there, and she brought me up to raise you, and I raised you up, and here you are, and God did all of that, Moses.
Yeah.
I think she told him that story over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And I think she told him about those patriarchs of old. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
And I think even though the king up there that we read about last week didn't know Joseph, I think Moses knew who Joseph was.
Yeah.
I think she had drilled that into him. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Thank God that whole household had faith.
That's right.
Amrod had faith. Jochebed had faith. And we get over to another chapter there, we're going to find out Moses had a brother named Aaron, and he had faith.
Yeah.
And we're going to find out Moses had a sister, Miriam, and she had faith.
Yeah.
All of the family had faith. Can I tell you there's something about real, real old time believing God and having faith. It's contagious, thank God.
Yeah,
if it's the real thing, it'll catch on in your family, your children, and your grandchildren, thank God.
Yeah,
talk about how important it is to have faith. It was wonderful that Moses had faith in the home. It's wonderful his mother told him about faith. But oh, how wonderful it is that Moses has faith in his own. For the Bible said in our text, it said, by faith, Moses. Moses has faith. Now thank God for a mother that has faith. And thank God for a father that has faith. But you know, more important than all of that when it comes to salvation and eternity is that you have faith.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah, mate.
Moses had faith. A mother's faith may deliver you from a lot of things, but it'll take your faith to save you.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
So we look at this, and I believe the world's filled with people like Moses. You say, what do you mean? The world's filled with people that it was their mother's faith, or their father's faith, or their grandmother's faith, or their grandfather's faith. And they taught them when they was little, they instilled faith within their heart. And the seed grew.
Amen.
Became something. Amen.
Amen.
I'm talking about faith. I believe Paul said of Timothy, he talks about his faith, and he said that first dwelt in your grandmother, and then in your mother, and now in you. Amen. So Moses refused a position by faith. You may be called on sometime to. You may be offered a position. And you may have to refuse that position. If you want to be obedient to Christ and you want to be what God wants you to do, you may have to refuse that position. You say, how can I do that? You'll have to do it like Moses. You'll have to do it by faith.
Man.
You'll have to believe that God has something better for you than the position the world might be going to offer you.
Amen.
Moses refused a position. In Acts 7, we read there in verse 22, the Bible said Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in word and deed. Moses knew something. Not only did his mother teach him, but Pharaoh's daughter, the people, I'm sure that probably she didn't do it, but the people in authority there, they taught Moses the wisdom of Egypt, and they taught him in the ways of Egypt, and Moses was no dummy. Moses was well schooled and well trained, no doubt. You know, Moses could have been somebody in Egypt.
Amen, Brother Rich.
It makes me think of old Brother Jack Laster. He said he'd come home, sit down at the table there, and he said, "Dad, I got something to tell you." And he said, "What is it, son?" And he said, "God's called me to preach." And he said, his dad dropped his head and shook it for a minute and looked up. And he said, "Well," he said, "I thought you was going to be the boy who's going to amount to something." Kind of disheartening, amen.
Yeah.
You see, the world, the way the world looks at things is that the world looks at if you succeed in the world that you're a success. If you're popular in the world, you're a success. But God doesn't look at things that way, Brother Ed. Can I tell you, Moses could have been somebody down in Egypt. He could have been the next Pharaoh. He could have been the mighty leader of Egypt. But the Bible said Moses refused. And when he did that, he refused the popularity of Egypt.
Right.
He said no to it.
Yeah.
Can I tell you, human nature, fallen human nature, has a desire to be somebody. Don't you know that?
Yes,
and the devil knows that too.
Boy,
the devil feeds on that fallen nature. It just wants to be somebody. Just to be somebody. But see, when you get saved and you get God and you get that new nature, you realize you're just a nobody.
Amen.
But you know somebody.
Amen.
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 You know, people get offended at that when you say, "Well, you know, we're just nobodies." People don't like that in our day because fallen nature wants to be somebody. But the born again nature, it realizes it's nobody, but Christ is somebody. And if we know Him, thank God, that makes us somebody.
Amen.
Because we know Him, thank
Amen.
God.
That's right. Yeah, brother, yeah.
Amen. But did you know, in the eyes of the world, if you're somebody in the eyes of the world, you're probably nobody in the eyes of God.
Amen, Brother Rick.
But if you're nobody in the eyes of the world,
amen,
you're probably somebody with God.
Whoa.
You say, why? Well, that's just the way the kingdom of God works.
Yeah.
Amen. You say, well, I don't know about that. What would you like an example? The Bible said in God's eyes, Noah was somebody. Amen. The Bible said Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah was somebody in God's eyes.
Amen.
But in the world's eyes, Noah was just a stupid old man that was talking about something that had never happened and they didn't believe ever would happen. And he was nobody. And Noah could not boast of his big meetings. And Noah could not boast of his great numbers of converts. Noah could not boast of any of that, but yet in the eyes of God, Noah was somebody.
Amen. That's right. The
Savior is out. But in the world's eyes, he was nobody. Can I tell you, John the Baptist, in the eyes of the world, was a nobody. He was outdated. He's old-fashioned. He was too strict in his dress. Amen. He was eccentric and weird in his diet. And his preaching was rough and crude and hard, and the world didn't like him. And in the eyes of the world, he was just a crazy old preacher.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
He cut his head off.
Yeah.
That's how much they liked him. They cut his head off. But in the eyes of God,
I'm born a woman great.
Jesus said, of those born of a woman, there is none greater than John Baptist.
Amen.
You see, he wasn't popular with the world, but he was popular with God.
Amen.
Moses refused the popularity. You say, why? Because that wasn't his priority. His priority wasn't to be the number one person in Egypt. Had it been, he could have been. But that wasn't his priority. You see, long before it was ever written down,
Moses was already practicing Matthew 6 and 33, which says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all his other things will be added unto you.
Amen.
Amen. Moses said, I am interested in the kingdom, but not this.
That's right.
Amen. There was a prize that Moses thought being ruler of Egypt would have been the prize he was seeking after. He could have had it, no doubt. But the Bible said that he saw something else that was of greater value to him than down here.
Didn't
he? Rather than him sitting on the throne, he was interested in somebody else that was already on the throne.
Yeah.
Amen. The Lord. The Bible said, Philippians 3, Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Glory.
You see, Moses was interested in a place, but he refused popularity. He could have been popular with the people of Egypt. I mean, he could have been the number one man, and everybody would have been looking to him because he would have controlled everything there in Egypt. But he was looking for a place.
Yeah.
The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11 and 25. You'll look at it there in Hebrews 11 and 25. The Bible says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season.
Amen.
Now I think Moses said, well, rather than be on the throne of Egypt, I want to be found numbered among God's people.
Yeah.
I want to take my place with the people of God. And his mother told him about their afflictions and what they went through and how the people looked down on them and all of these things. But Moses said, that's my group. I'm going to refuse popularity.
Amen.
Because
I
want to be with God's people.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You can't have it both ways.
That's right.
And I think Moses might have been seen walking down the road singing, I'm going through, I'm going through. I'll pay the price, no matter what others do.
Amen.
I'll take my place with the Lord's despised few.
Yeah.
I started in Jesus and I'm going through.
Amen.
I think Moses said, no matter what the world may think about God's people, that's who I want to be a part of.
That's right.
I'm glad tonight to be a part of the family of God, aren't you?
Amen.
I like that little old song, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God.
Yeah.
Amen. Be with God's people. No, they're not always the richest. They're not always the best dressed. They're not always got the most money. They're not always the most popular. But I tell you, there's something special about God's people.
Amen.
Amen. It's been a long time ago. I preached on the radio about years ago. They had a Christian radio station in Glasgow, Kentucky. And God gave me favor with the man that owned it. And he took a liking to me to give me a whole hour of preaching on Sunday evening from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock for pennies. And I'd preach every evening 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock. Amen. And this little old lady that lived right below the hospital in a little old four-room house there. They tore them all down now, but used to be right below the hospital. Another little lady called me one day, and I said, hello. And she said, is this Rick Prophet? And I said, it is. And she said, I listen to you every Sunday evening on the radio. And she said, you're my preacher. And she said, I've never met you, I've never seen you, but I walked through and said, will you come to my house so I can meet you? I said, yes, ma'am, I'll sure come and see you one of these days. Well, I got busy, and days went by. I didn't go see him one Sunday, and my phone rung again.
Bless him, Lord.
It's just Brother Prophet. Yes, ma'am, it is. Well, you're my preacher, and I want to see you. And you said you're coming, and you hadn't come.
Bless him, Lord.
Yes, ma'am, I'm going to get over there. I'm still working a job at that time, pastoring a church, and I didn't get there that week. A few weeks later, she called. Is this Brother Rick Coffey? Yes, it is. You're my preacher. I listen to you every Sunday, and I want to meet you. Will you come And I said, yes, ma'am, I'll come. She said, you told me that twice. I want to know when you're coming.
Yes.
Will you come this week? I said, yes, ma'am, by God's grace, I'll come see you this week. And I found her house and pulled in there and got out, walked up to the door, knocked on the door, and a little old lady come to the door, looked like a little Pentecostal lady, come to the door, a little white hair up in a bun, and the little old lady come there, and she grinned, she said, you must be Brother Potter. I said, yes, ma'am, I am. She said, come in. I went in a little room, very meagerly furnished, not anything hardly in it, just a bed. Few little things there, an old Bible stand sitting there, and had a Bible sitting on it that was wore completely out.
Glory to God.
And I come in and sit down, we fellowship for a while, and after a while she said, let's pray.
Amen.
And I said, okay. She said, anything you want me to pray for? And I said, yes, ma'am, I just came from a man that's dying of cancer, he's lost, and we need to pray for him. She said, okay. She said, I want you to pray for my nephew. God's called him to preach. You don't know it yet. God's called him to preach. And he's going to preach. And I want you to pray with me that he'll listen to God, do what God wants him to do. And I said, yes, ma'am, I will. We prayed. A few weeks after that man with cancer got saved.
Amen.
Yeah. And about 2 or 3 months after that, her nephew announced his calling to preach. And he's been preaching ever since.
So,
and I realized that I was in the presence of a little old lady that didn't have much, but she knew God.
Amen.
And brother, her house was meagerly furnished, but I'm telling you, you can just feel God in that place.
Glory to God.
You know, the way people live has a lot to do with the presence of God in their house and in their life.
Amen.
Bless you, preacher.
We talked for a while, had prayer. I said, well, I must go. And she said, wait a minute, preacher. She said, I got a little something for you. I ain't got much, but I got a little something for you. And I said, okay. And she said, come on in the kitchen here. She had a little old box sitting there. And first of all, she got out, and we called it welfare cheese back then. The government put it out, and people got it. And even people that wouldn't know welfare or anything, they'd lie, steal, do about anything to get it. Because it was good cheese. She had a little box of that sitting there, and she said, I got you a box of cheese. I said, thank you, ma'am.
Amen.
She said, she pulled out 2 little jars of jelly, and she said, I made this jelly for you today.
Bless you, brother.
Off of them trees in the backyard. I said, thank you, ma'am. She said, how many boys do you have? I said, I got 2 boys, ma'am. She said, there's a silver dollar in there, 2 of them, 1 for each boy. I said, thank you, ma'am. I got my box, started out to the car. She said, hey, wait a minute, preacher. She said, do you like watermelon? I said, yes, ma'am, I love watermelon. She said, there's a man come by with a truck of them this morning. He was stopping here, and he was selling them. And I said, sir, I don't have any money to buy a watermelon, but my preacher's coming by this evening, and I just wish you'd give me one of them watermelons to give my preacher. He's coming by this evening. I tell you, that little old lady wasn't popular in Glasgow. Nobody knew who she was, but that little lady knew God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I stepped in my car. She's standing at the door, and she closed the door. I laid my head over on that steering wheel, and I wept like a baby.
Amen.
God spoke to my heart and said, son, you may be in a lot of nice houses and a lot of fully furnished homes, but he said you'll never be in any greater home than the home we're in today.
Amen.
I went over Jamaica 3 times, and I was in a couple of mansions over there. I mean mansions. And I thought about that little old lady.
Amen, Brother Rick.
I tell you, I didn't feel in them mansions what I felt in that little old lady's home.
Amen.
You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about God's people and want to be numbered with people like that. Oh, that's where I want to be. That's what Moses wanted.
Yeah.
Look in verse 25, Hebrews 11, 25.
Glory to God.
I'm talking about what Moses refused. The Bible said, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season.
Amen.
Moses refused a position. Moses refused popularity.
That's right.
Moses refused pleasures. He said he refused the pleasures of sin or season.
Amen.
Moses could have enjoyed all the pleasures that Egypt could have fallen.
Oh yeah.
The pleasures of women.
Right.
Some of the most beautiful women that there would be found there, Moses being who he was, if he had accepted that position.
Right.
Being who he was, he could have had any number of women that he wanted.
Amen, brother.
Moses could have had, no doubt, the best wines that may have been flowing. He could have had that. He could have had some of the best meals. He could have had the best of everything. He could have enjoyed all the pleasures that Egypt could afford. And brother, Egypt could afford some pleasures.
Amen. But
Moses said no.
Amen.
No.
Eternal decision.
Moses is looking through the eyes of faith.
Amen.
Not the eyes of flesh.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm not saying God doesn't want you to have any pleasure. God doesn't want us to be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God.
Amen.
But the Lord wants us to have pleasure in life. He wants us to enjoy the things of life that are not sinful.
Amen.
But Moses was refusing the pleasures of Egypt that would have cost him the favor of God.
Amen.
You say, why did he do that? Well, remember, Moses is looking through the eyes of faith, not the eyes of flesh.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talking about getting stuff in the kids while they're young. We went into the warehouse bookstore down there in Pigeon Forge, and we're going through there. And of course, they got a section there. It's got Bibles and stuff in it. And Memphis, that's the littlest one, you know. She got over there, and she come up through there with the Bible and said, Papa! Papa! I want this Bible! Is it one of them holy things?
Yeah, baby. Yeah. Yeah, baby.
Brother Jerry, she said, Papa, it's not an NIV, is it? It's the Holy Jane.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
Talk about getting stuff in kids. While they're young, amen.
Amen, amen, brother.
God wants us to have some pleasure. Amen. I'll tell you one thing, 60-year-old is too old to be riding go-karts at midnight. If they wanted to ride, we got on that plain wooden track, Brother Eddie.
Oh, me, brother.
And, I hadn't rode one in a while, but Memphis is riding with me. Well, on the first lap, we wrecked. I'm crossways. I've been hit twice and pushed Pum over to the rail, and she looks up and says, Papa, you're staring me. Stop. She thought I was doing it on purpose. I couldn't help it. I scared myself.
Amen.
God wants us to have pleasure, but God does not want us to have pleasure at the expense of God.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right. See, that's what he's saying. You see, Moses looking at this thing through the eyes of faith, not the eyes of flesh.
Amen.
And looking at it through the eyes of faith, Moses knows the pleasures of sin are real.
Yeah.
They're real.
Yeah.
We sometimes try to make it out like sin is not enjoyable or does not have any pleasure. But it does.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't pleasurable, it wouldn't be a $1 billion industry.
Amen.
And if sin wasn't enjoyable, if people didn't enjoy their sin, it wouldn't be so hard to quit.
Amen.
Get them to quit doing it.
Amen.
But you see, the flesh loves sin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And you see, that's real. The pleasures of sin are real.
Amen.
And faith knows that.
That's right.
There's not any one of us here tonight that don't know we could quit God. We could go out and we could enjoy some of the pleasures of sin, and there would be pleasure in that for a while. But you see, through the eyes of faith, faith knows it's real. It knows there's some enjoyment to sin. But through the eyes of faith, faith knows that that enjoyment is relatively short.
That's right.
Yeah.
As you said, they enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season.
For a season.
Seasons pass quickly. Amen?
Amen.
Right.
Amen. They pass quickly. I've many times been in the hospital room, and just not too long ago in the hospital room with somebody,
bless him, Lord,
that enjoyed the pleasures of sin for a season. And they asked me when I left to just pray for me that I don't go out of this world like I came into it. And I said, what do you mean? He said, keep kicking and a screaming and a crying. Now, I was sitting right there when Harry Nix preached on Tuesday night. And you know what he said? He said, I want to keep serving God. And he said, I'm just praying I can go out of this world like I came in, kicking and screaming and crying, he said. And I thought, my, what a difference of somebody that has lived for God and somebody that has not lived for God, how they view and look at things. Amen. Short for a season.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's already October to you. Where'd the summer go? Where'd spring go?
Right.
They come and they go. And Brother Eddie, every now and then we'll get on a long season, but it's still short.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah.
Moses knew that's the way sin was. Through the eyes of faith.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
Moses knew this. Moses knew that if you sow sin, you must reap sin.
That's right.
It's a law of God. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Amen.
He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting.
Amen.
Amen. Whatever we sow, the Bible promises that we're going to reap it back. Moses is looking through the eyes of faith, and Moses knows that he could be the leader of Egypt, and he could enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, and he could have lived in all kinds of sin and all kinds of wickedness. But Moses knew, if I live that way, I one day have to pay for that.
Right.
And Moses refused the pleasure of sin for a season by faith.
That's good preaching, Brother Rick. Amen.
The Bible said there is a way into the man that seemeth life.
Yeah.
Amen. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death.
Amen.
Right.
The ways of death.
Yeah.
Sin will take your life, and the devil and sin and the flesh will take your life and run with it, and you'll laugh your way all the way to hell.
Yeah.
And you get right there and all at once, and then the devil, he lets you realize you've wasted your life. He's tricked you. You're going to have to reap what you sowed.
Yeah.
Oh, thank God that the Lord could save us from such a life and such a terrible end. God could save us from that if, like Moses, we refuse the pleasures of sin for a season.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Look here, and I'll be done tonight. Hebrews 11:26. The Bible says there, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward, and by faith he forsook Egypt. Moses refused, when he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he refused the position. When he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he refused popularity. When he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he refused the pleasures of sin for a season. But when he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he refused the possessions that could have been his. The Bible said, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt.
Amen.
One could only imagine the riches down in Egypt. One could only imagine the gold and the silver and all of the jewels and all of the riches of Egypt, but they could have all been in his possession, the palace and all these things. But Moses said no to that. Why did Moses refuse that? Because faith gives wisdom. By faith, Moses refused it.
Amen.
And by faith, Moses knew that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses.
Amen.
Moses knew, you see, we see that word esteeming. It's like that. It's like the word that we'd look at it, esteem, or it's like the word we might look at to evaluate something, to look at something And you see, faith does not value things the way the world values things. You see. And faith knows that there's something more to life than things.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Jesus was said those words. He said, beware of covetousness.
Amen.
For a man's life consists of not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. You see, faith's estimation is different. The world, well, a good illustration. Judas valued the Lord at $19.20.
Yeah.
30 pieces of silver.
Yeah.
Judas said, all it is worth is $19.20. That's all he thought the Lord was worth. And yet he's the Lord of glory. He's the one that came to save humanity. He's the one that had precious blood that there's no more like it or ever will be. I mean, it's indelible how much he's worth. But you see, through the eyes of the world, he's not worth much tonight.
Amen.
You're right.
Going through the eyes of those that know him by faith.
Amen.
He's precious to
them. Yeah.
He's precious tonight.
Yeah.
What would he be worth tonight if you was dying facing hell?
Amen, Brother Rick.
He's precious tonight.
Yeah.
What's he worth tonight? He come and took your place on an old rugged cross and died in your stead. I mean, he's invaluable tonight. The Bible said we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Amen.
For him. Amen.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
See, greater riches.
Thank you, Lord.
You see, tonight, there's people tonight
Jesus.
That live in mansions.
Amen.
And I'm not saying if you live in a mansion, you're not saved or you're not a Christian. Thank God. God has Christians in all
Amen.
Different levels of the economy, so to speak. God has Christians. Brother Broughton had a millionaire in his church and was a great Christian man. He gave most of the money for the camp to where the kids go. And he loved God and was a tremendous Christian man and had a tremendous testimony in the church and among God's people. I don't mean that. But I'm saying tonight, there's people tonight that live in mansions tonight that where they got to die tonight, they'd be homeless.
Yeah.
Amen.
There's people tonight that live in shacks or don't even have a house. If they died tonight, they'd be living in a mansion.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See Luke 16 for more details.
Amen.
The Bible said the rich man died and in hell lifted up his eyes.
Yeah, man.
But said the beggar died and the angels came and carried him away on Abraham's bosom. Thank God. Now, I'm glad tonight. Listen, now, by the way, if you had a mansion down here and you died and you went up there, it'd be a shock compared to what you got up there.
Amen.
That's right. You know, the other Bibles say, in my Father's house there are many rooms. I got rooms down here.
Amen.
Yeah.
I don't want a room. Somebody said, just give me a cabin. I don't want a cabin. I want a mansion.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. And you say you want one? Yeah. He said, I can have one. He paid for it. And I want it.
Amen.
Yeah. I want it. I know as soon as I get it, my wife will have to come over and decorate and move the furniture around. Change the pictures on the wall. But I still want it, praise God. What about you? You said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. You know what? A room that Jesus built would be a mansion compared to what we think about.
Amen.
Based estimation. You see, Moses looked at all this and Moses said, you know what, I'm going to refuse it because I'm esteeming that Christ is greater riches.
Amen.
I'm going to let it all go because I believe there's something out there worth a lot more.
Amen, Brother Rick.
And he said, I'm going to go with God. Amen.
See the foundation.
Amen. He refused it. You see, Moses, he knew what the real treasure was.
Yeah.
We have our things, and we like our things, and women like their rings, and men like their guns, and their boats, and their cars, and their houses, and we have our things. But you see, faith sees what the real, faith estimates what the real valuable thing is.
Amen.
And Moses was saying, I'd give it all up.
Amen.
Moses did give it all up.
Will you?
Esteeming that following Christ was far greater. Amen. He knew what was really worth something.
Amen.
Amen. Ledbetter's used to sing a little old song. My home may not look like a mansion. My clothes may be lacking in style. And if you come and sit at my table, a meager supply you might find.
Amen.
But oh, yeah. It's not what you see that makes me a king. Makes me a king. To me, I've everything.
Amen.
And all that I own, all that I own, is treasures unseen.
Amen.
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 You got anything like that tonight?
Isn't that wonderful?
Thank God I'm glad for a faith that's real tonight.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm glad that we'll do like Moses and by faith follow on.
That's right.
Amen.
We won't be sorry for
it. Amen. Amen. Amen.
And let's stand tonight on the piano player again, the song leader to come tonight. Moses, what do you refuse? Maybe you've had to refuse something for God, or maybe you be called on to refuse something for God.
Thank you, Father.
Do you remember what Moses did?
Lord,
God blessed him for it. Amen.
What a blessing.
This world,
and I pray,
not worth going to hell. Lord.
There be some here tonight, Lord.
Jesus estimated this way. Jesus said, if a man gained all the world, lost his soul,
I pray, Lord, tonight, you call
what would he give in the exchange? Now think about that. Jesus, the eyes of faith. The world wouldn't do this at all. But the eyes of faith says one old
brother,
one old old faith, one old heart. One old sinner.
Thank you.
God said, bless you.
Father, Lord, you know
every soul.
You know every man.
It's worth more.
Is there one tonight?
The whole world.
Here tonight.
That's why he came to die. He will heal and die for the world.
Things right.
He will die for his soul. Father, I thank you tonight for the folks who've come out. Thank you for the word of God. I know that what we read tonight happened many, many years ago. The Bible, for our admonishment upon whom the ends of the world have come. Help us as Christians in our day to have a spirit like Moses had,
Lord,
be willing to refuse the things of this world. We might have the things of God, the things of Christ in our life. Lord, if there's somebody here tonight unsaved, I pray that they'd come tonight. And give it all up for Christ and come tonight. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I'd rather have Jesus than treasures untold. God, I pray tonight that you'll help us and attempt it daily, Lord, by the things of the world. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes on you so when you come, you won't be disappointed in us. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
As we sing, if you need to come and pray, please, Lord.
Glory.
We need help. We'll pray with you.
Amen.
Thank you.
preach some on the mistakes of Moses. He made a lot of mistakes in his life, just like you and I make a lot of mistakes in our life. But there's one thing about it, he didn't make a mistake when he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches. He got it right, praise God. I'm glad I made a lot of mistakes. I'm sure I'll make a lot more. But I'm glad on that morning when the Lord spoke to my heart, I didn't make a mistake of turning away.
Amen.
I'm glad I accepted the Lord into my heart. We upon Christ were saved by the grace of God. And I'm glad I got that right. Did you get that right?
Amen.
Tonight, the Lord may be speaking to you as we sing this last verse. If He is, you're to come to that. Call upon the Lord and find Him rich in mercy.
Hear the great truths that have been told tonight. I appreciate you just going back in the archives of things that God brings in our lives. And,
amen.
You know, they're monumental to us. The world looks at them and they think we're crazy. I mean, my mama called me a fanatic. I mean, I run and told mama, I said, Mama, I got saved. And she said, when you get home, look up the word fanatic. That's what you are. And it's still true tonight. And I'll tell you what, boy, I'm so glad that God didn't turn me away. I'm glad He saved me. I'll never be ashamed of him. And my dad called me a fool, and still am on tonight. And I'm the right kind of fool. Amen.
Amen.
One day I'll die, and I won't die like Abner. I won't die like a fool. Dies, I'll die. Praise God.
Amen.
It's precious in the sight of the Lord. Death is saint. One day I'll graduate this life with honors, thanks to the cross and Calvary and Christ. Praise the Lord tonight.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else tonight? Word of testimony for the good Lord. He's worthy tonight to be praised.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Anybody else tonight? Yes.
I'd just like to say that I'm thankful for what I know.
Amen.
Thankful for what I feel.
Bless your heart. Hallelujah.
It's a lot of years that I was outside of the will of the Lord.
Yeah.
You
know,
the Bible says that He uses all things for good.
Bless you.
And if it wasn't His will
for me
to live my life
like
I did,
that He's
blessed me up.
Amen. Oh,
yeah. Sure. That He's blessed me. There's been a lot of things in our life, in our marriage, in our home.
Yes.
We've gone through this. I've learned so much from it.
Amen.
It's drawn me closer. It's really hard to go through some of those things. You don't always see or know why you have to, but when you're on the other side,
right.
You can look back and be thankful for even the hard times.
Amen.
Amen.
I love you for who
He
is. Amen. Yeah. Think about it. If you hold on to His hand, you use the word there, all those things we've been through.
Mm-hmm.
And if you hold on to the Lord's hand, He'll bring you through.
Amen.
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 All right. Anybody else?
Yes.
Yes.
You
are
good for Eddie's uncle Mike Williams.
Yes.
He passed away last year. That's where we were this morning. We weren't here. He had a tumor removed from his brain. And the biopsy showed that it wasn't cancer. But he's had a couple of tough nights since the removal, which the surgery went good and all, but they read.
Thank you, Jesus.
The Lord has blessed them by letting them adopt two of their grandchildren. She said it makes me wonder why. But I just feel like the Lord had me say to her, you know, Tammy, sometimes.
Bless you.
The Lord's mercies are hard to think. What if he had been such, you know, stricken with all this illness when you guys were not living the way you should have been?
Bless you, Lord. Bless
you. It's been a much harder road to haul then.
Yeah.
It's only by His mercy, baby.
Sorry, not concerned.
Amen.
Amen.
So just remember that thing.
Amen. All right, anybody else tonight? Yes, Mark. Grandmother, she's been in church here some this year and heard in prayer. All right. All hearts clear tonight then. Appreciate you coming out. Pray for the services this coming week and to be sure to make some contacts and talk to some people about the Lord and plant some seeds in somebody's life. All right. We're going to bow our heads for dismissal prayer tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Bill Bailey if he would to dismiss us in a word of prayer, please.
Lord, again, we thank you for the opportunity we have to be here tonight.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
First of all, we've heard, Lord, and Lord, so we remind us, Lord, of some things, Lord, that we have, Lord. Thank you again for everything you do for us, Lord. Thank you for this day and for this morning, Lord. Everything that took place today, Lord. We just pray now, Lord, you just bless us. Bless us now and watch over from now to the next point in time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.